Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Well, Scott, it was a good weekend.
Yes.
And it's been the whole last week. We had a lot of activity going on.
Yes. The doors have been open and the lights have been on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the cleaning crew has been working.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot happening here this past week at Grace. We've had the ability to use our building outside for outside groups that need space to do ministry, as well as a lot happening with our church.
Yeah.
And yesterday's no exception. All day long, things going on.
Yeah, all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Worship in the morning, membership class, mm-hmm. and then last night a big kickoff for some youth ministry, guys and girls groups.
Yep.
Yeah.
And our college young ministry adult thing kicked off as well. They had a good turnout for that as well.
Yeah. It's probably a good time to say thank you to our congregation for providing a building.
Yeah, it's such a blessing.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when we were thinking about buying this property and starting the whole building process, and that was the big question. Do we want to do this? Do we need to do this? Mm-hmm. And we came to the conclusion that physical spaces are can be used as great tools for ministry.
Yeah.
And man, have we seen that played out recently.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as we've opened the doors for outside ministries that don't have locations, physical space of their own. And so I think, I don't know how many days or nights last week, but maybe 5 out of 7, I can't remember, were used. The building was being used, and then again all day yesterday. So, yeah, it was a great day, great weekend, but that's a great opportunity for me to say thanks to a congregation that is providing physical space for lots of ministries to happen.
We even had a new space open up. We're using the Stone House for stuff now.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome. We had Senior Sunday in there on Sunday. We got some adult community groups happening.
Yeah.
It was great.
Good.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
And in the space, we encourage people to pray for the work of God's Spirit in His Word, because that's really, obviously, that's what it's about. Reading in Acts this morning, preparing for next Sunday's sermon, the space was a prayer group by a river.
Oh, yeah.
And the Holy Spirit worked there. So the Holy Spirit works everywhere.
Yeah.
So we need to pray that God will do the real work of heart work, conversion, and growth in the physical spaces that we have.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, before we get on next Sunday's, let's recap this past Sunday's message.
Yeah, it was good to be back in Acts, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It picked up right where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, we had to deal with a text that had a couple challenges. We're only going to talk about one on this podcast. But we went from this great scene of Gentiles hearing that the gospel is by grace through faith, and they don't first convert to Judaism and then to Christianity or to Christ, and the message is delivered back to the church at Antioch, and people are joy-filled, and they're teaching the word, and the church is growing, Paul says, let's do a second journey, let's go back and revisit the churches and see how they're doing and strengthen them, and then we had conflict.
Yep.
And so the people can read that. It's the last part of Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas had a conflict over whether or not to take John Mark, who went with them on the first journey but didn't finish, left, and then went back to Jerusalem. And Paul and Barnabas continued on. And Paul said, no, we shouldn't take him. We're not going to take him. I mean, not we shouldn't, but we're not. And Barnabas said, no, we should, and we are. And so they were so strong in their disagreement that they separated. Two teams were formed. We talked a lot about the providence of God in that.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, God works in all things, even when we disagree. He can do good things out of it. It's not an excuse for our disagreement, but it is a confidence that our disagreements don't end God's plan.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, I think disagreements are unfortunate, but often inevitable. Like
mm-hmm.
we're going to run into disagreements,
mm-hmm.
and in this case. It's an interesting story, primarily not just because they had a disagreement, but because it caused them to separate ultimately at the end of it.
Yeah.
So I feel like a bit, you talked about this some during the sermon, but how do we know when it's, if and when it's time to separate? Like, how, when do you decide to do that?
Yeah. Well, a guy like me never wants to separate.
I know that.
I just want to keep going with everybody and let's be happy.
Yeah. There's somebody out there that knows what your Enneagram number is or something, like that, right? They would say it's because you're a something.
Yeah, well, you can use an Enneagram number or you could just use a word to describe me or a lot of people. Yep. But having said that, no, I'm not a person who believes that you should never separate. Of course, I think you should separate at times. And so when should you separate? Well, obviously, we should separate ourselves as Christians, whether it be in gospel partnership and ministry work or whether it even be in the same local congregation. We should separate when the Bible and the doctrines, not the things of the Bible that we can vary in our interpretation,
yep,
but still hold to the full authority of Scripture, mm-hmm, but the things that you can't have any variation.
Right.
The gospel itself, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And other major doctrines. So when there's such a big doctrinal difference, or when there is the treatment of moral issues as if they're optional or light or they're gray issues, when they're clearly moral issues, mm-hmm, that are in the Bible. When those things get violated, you know, you have to separate.
Yeah.
You just, that's not even, and that's certainly not what happened in Acts 15.
Right.
But just the question was, when should you separate? And there's a good one. And there are probably other things, you know, this is moral, but, you know, if you're part of a ministry or a church that, you know, has a total lack of care for whether or not the finances are being handled, mm-hmm, or a total lack of care about whether or not people are being harmed or abused, mm-hmm, those are moral issues, as well as some of the more common moral issues that we think about, like sexual ethics and those types of things. You got to separate.
Yeah,
you can't work together. Mm-hmm. And then I guess, you know, working back from that, the more serious cases, sometimes a strategy would be so out of keeping with what someone would think is clearly in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You'd have to separate.
Yeah,
I can imagine myself not working with organizations if their approach to evangelism was extremely man-centered or manipulative. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say, well, I'll pray for that God will give conversions through that anyway, but I couldn't be a part of it myself. It would violate my conscience,
right,
to do that. So that leads me to, I guess, another point is that conscience, you know, when something is not, you can't say, oh, that's really a revealed doctrine or that's really a revealed point of morality. But it's so unwise that it gets close to that.
Right.
That would violate my conscience, mm-hmm, and I would have to separate.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there are other lesser things, like, you know, if I'm working with someone and I realize, oh, we're just doing a job that I don't think I'm called to do that job. Mm-hmm. Then again, that's not a separation. That's just more of a that's not what I need to be doing with my life. I'm not going to join you in that. But God bless you as you do it.
Yeah.
That's on the other side of Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were both committed to a mission, mm-hmm, so they really did have a disagreement.
Yeah,
and they separated. But I would think, Josh, I would think those would be times when you would need to separate. Mm-hmm. You know, the clearly revealed doctrinal, clearly revealed moral issues, and then you know, working back from that, wisdom issues that violate conscience because they really get close to what I would call going against the wisdom of Scripture. Hmm. The way, like I said, manipulative forms of evangelism or something like that. Mm-hmm.
I know the passage doesn't declare who's right in this argument, mm-hmm, right? Like it doesn't really say whether Paul is this is on what's the best move for a mission. So they both feel strongly about the ministry to these
congregations, and so, but there's not really like a judgment. Yeah, and Paul was wrong, or Barnabas was wrong.
Yeah,
but they both have these developed consciences about it. Talk to us for a minute about like developing one's conscience.
Yeah. Well, it needs to be biblically developed and biblically informed. In other words, you need to have a reason. Conscience is not just a gut feeling.
Right.
It gets formed on reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking now of another example that does relate to mission. So if somebody's trying to apply this to some area of life that's outside, this might be a difficult podcast, but maybe God will give them grace to think it through for their life. But I'm thinking of another issue where in a mission setting, work was being done among church plants and church and pastors and that sort of thing. And I have a conscience about the need for real groundedness in theology. Again, not that everybody has to have a PhD in theology, but real rootedness in biblical doctrine,
right,
for church leadership. And I was working in a context one time where that wasn't the case, that they didn't have the same opinion or conviction about that. We did the work and it was fine. If I were asked to do that on an ongoing basis, my conscience being developed by Paul to Timothy and then to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, and to the pastoral epistles about sound doctrine and watch over your teaching, and Paul's final words to the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20.
Yep.
My conscience is developed by that sort of thing. So I could not in good conscience continue to do the kind of mission work that did not really develop leadership, but that left people, in my opinion, to flounder. In other people's opinion, it was, we'll leave that to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think, well, the Holy Spirit wants to use good development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be a time specifically when I probably, if the opportunity arose and I was doing that permanently, I would probably have to go another way.
Yeah. But we can see how that, what you're describing as your conscience right there is, like you said, informed by you see as biblical principles.
Right. It's not an opinion.
It's not just an opinion. It's not just a desire for something you set your hand to be successful and have you be viewed as successful.
Right.
So like there are all these things, desires that, you know, think about like James, right? Mm-hmm. What happens when we quarrel and there's strife among us? It's because our desires are at war within us, right? And so like if we allow our desires that aren't really scripture informed to be our conscience or be our like gut reaction to things.
Yeah.
Not only there's going to be more conflict, but the separation probably happened more frequently.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily over things.
That is a great point you've made. And I think that is self-deception.
Mm-hmm.
I think James would say that.
Yeah. You elevate something that's really just your opinion or whatever, or a desire.
Your desire.
You're elevating it to a moral,
to conscience. Yeah.
Issue.
My conscience is held captive to my self-will.
Right.
To my desire.
Right.
No, that wasn't Luther's statement. It was, it's held captive by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So conscience should be developed by truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is a bit tricky though, because, like I just said, my conscience about the way to do leadership in church planning situations is developed by the Bible, but but someone else could do it slightly differently, and I wouldn't accuse them necessarily of violating something. They're seeing things differently.
They might emphasize like the urgency of the gospel message. We got to get out there and do it
exactly
faster. Yeah,
exactly.
So their conscience might be looking at scripture and saying, "No, it's urgent. That means fast. That means you drop it and you go and you let the Lord handle that."
That's right.
Yeah.
Whereas we couldn't say that our conscience has been developed differently over the lordship of Christ if we're saying it's biblical.
Right.
Because there's no negotiating there.
Sure. Yeah.
There are situations where it appears in like the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit did things and you don't have a record of the follow-up and you don't have the record of the development of leadership.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And so somebody can read that and take that another way.
Mm-hmm.
But conscience is an area that you it would not be wise for someone to violate their conscience in order to stay in partnership. Mm-hmm. Now, it is okay for us to yield on our opinions. It's okay for us to yield on our preferences in order to stay in partnership. We have the freedom to do that, and we have the free, and or we could not do it. But we should not violate our conscience, and we certainly should not compromise the revealed truth in doctrine and morality and other things in order to stay in partnership. And when those things happen, then we would need to separate.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's kind of a spectrum here of a desire for unity, a willingness to yield to non-essentials, and at the same time, having the honesty to look at something and have a real developed conscience about things that are important, and the courage to speak truthfully about it and to take a stand on it, potentially to separate for the sake of something like that.
That's right. Yeah. That's we may be called to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's another possibility, and that is, let's go back to Paul and Barnabas. The other possibility is they just could have come up with a different strategy altogether. Like it could have been that rather than Paul saying to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the churches and see how they're doing, it's possible that people in that situation could have said, hey, how about you take somebody else? I'll take somebody else. We'll double the effort. You head off to Cyprus. We'll head west and revisit the churches along the Galatian area, and we'll have two teams, which is in effect what happened. But it's possible they could have started out that way.
Yeah.
So all that to say is, in our current context, we can just come up with other strategies. That's not necessarily a separation.
Yeah.
That's let's have a strategy that creates two teams.
Yeah.
Or that reaches a different group of people.
Yeah. And that kind of brings us back around to the side of this. We've talked this whole time about when to separate.
Yeah.
But once they did separate, it didn't end the relationship. Yeah. It just ended that partnership for that time.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good word as well. Doesn't mean they lost respect or love or those kinds of things, but they did feel they had to separate for that time.
Yeah. You have nothing in either Acts or Paul's writings that communicates that there was hard feelings, that it lasted, that they created their side, their party against the other, that they elevated it to a moral issue, to an issue of holiness or doctrine. There's nothing in those writings that indicate that. We just don't know, do we?
Yeah.
For some reason, the Holy Spirit did not choose to reveal much follow-up on this, except, as we said Sunday, that Paul did later write about Barnabas, didn't talk about this at all. It wasn't negative. And he did later reconnect with John Mark. So we get that part, but any details we just don't get, and so we have to say, okay, you know, we trust that God's providential hand, which was the whole point of the sermon on Sunday, and we move forward in faithful.
Yeah, that's great. Well, looking forward to this coming Sunday. Keeping on in Acts,
we're heading toward Europe with the gospel. Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it.